Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We've got Tyron here with us.
Hello.
And we are on video.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are, yeah.
And you can probably hear like a dog.
Yeah, dog's going crazy in the background.
So it's not ideal for our first video episode. So I think I explained in the last episode that we got a puppy and currently he's usually pretty good. He's not this.
We put him into the crate.
Yeah. Because we had to record and it's just not too happy at the moment. But no, He'll quiet down.
Yeah.
But our first video episode happens to be a Marvel movie. Mm. And it's actually like, when did Infinity War come out? 2018. So 2018 and now it's 2023. So that's...
5 years.
5 years. Is that right? Yeah. No.
One, two...
Yeah, it's right.
It's five years. Yeah, it is. Yep.
So it's 5 years since we started the podcast, actually, because this would have been the release around the release date of Infinity War.
It was the Easter long weekend.
Yeah.
No, Anzac Day long weekend.
It was Anzac Day. Yeah. I remember. No, we watched it on Anzac
Day. We watched it on Anzac Day. Anzac Day for, well, if there's anyone that listens to this outside of Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's Australia and New Zealand. Army Corps, is that what it is?
Australian, New Zealand Army. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we get a day off for it.
We get a day off, yeah. And they also play a footy game on a football game on that day. I remember Essendon lost during Infinity War because we were in the movie while the game was happening because we went for an afternoon
show. Yeah, yep, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, Guardians Volume 3, so we've come full circle now. We watched it a couple of nights ago technically it was opening night for us, Thursday night, because it came out on Thursday. And it was surprisingly empty.
It was a late show.
It was a late show. We went to another 9:45 show. This time I didn't fall asleep, though.
Yeah. I didn't want to do the 9:45, but we did.
Yeah. There was nothing in between.
Surprising. There was nothing in between like 8:30 and 9:45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a choice but to do that. We'll get into our thoughts on it. So as usual, we'll do non-spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, you can keep listening. We'll clearly indicate when there's going to be spoilers and then we'll jump into spoilers. But I'll start with a bit of background. So this is James Gunn's last MCU movie in terms of directing. This is his farewell to the Guardians. So the way they've marketed this movie, or the way James Gunn and the team were marketing it, is it is the finale of the Guardians. So we can get into our thoughts on how that panned out. And then we've got all the cast returning. So Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, Pom Clementif, Vin Diesel as Groot, Bradley Cooper as Rocket, and then some new people in this movie. So Chick Woody Iwuji is the antagonist.
Oh, yeah. He's in Peacemaker as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like repeat cast members from James Gunn's
Peacemaker
and Suicide Squad and
yep.
the Suicide Squad. So, well, apart from those people, Will Poulter is Adam Warlock. So they hinted at him in Guardians Volume 2 in the end credit scene all the way back in 2017 before our podcast started. So people have waited 6 years to see this character. Mm. We can talk about
it. Yeah, it's been a long wait for this movie because of various things.
Yeah. A lot of different things happening. Elizabeth Debicki is back.
Inception Zone. No, not Inception, the other one.
Tenet,
the one I hate.
She's also... my wife's...
Your wife's best friend.
Yes. Yeah. Let's stick to that. and there's some other cameos, which we can talk about maybe in spoilers, but it's basically like James Gunn's friends.
His wife.
Yeah, his wife's in it. Yeah, I don't think that's a spoiler. And Nathan Fillion is in it.
Yep.
Runtime is almost 2.5 hours, so it's, again, not short, but not as long as John Wick. So it didn't finish as late. It's John Wick. Funny story. So we went to the 9:45 show, about 20 minutes of ads, started just after 10, finished just around 12:30. I got home just around 1, and I forgot to take my keys. So usually I go through my garage and we leave the interior door open or like unlocked, but my wife decided to lock it that night, and I waited 2 hours outside that night. Before she realized that I wasn't home.
Because she was asleep.
Yeah. Like literally I was knocking, ringing, calling. So she had do not disturb. So there was no point calling.
Calling, yeah.
Because she wouldn't, it was just going straight to voicemail. Surprisingly, Remy puppy didn't even wake up.
Oh, dude. So, no one cares about you. So yeah.
Everyone was just fast asleep. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, I'll just go back to my car. I watched YouTube for 2 hours and then. Yeah. And then I received a call and she's like, where are you? I'm like, I've been waiting outside for 2 hours.
You would think Remy would have woken up because that guy's up all the time. Yeah.
No, he was gone for some reason that night. He was complete. He's actually sleeping throughout the night now. So
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
it was good. It's good in general, but not on that night. That night you wanted him up.
Yeah. That night I needed him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my sad, tragic story.
Yeah. And you'll never let Remy forget that. The one night you needed him, he wasn't there for you.
Yes. So budget-wise, $250 million. And box office-wise, apparently it's going to do about $250 million opening weekend. So it's better than most Marvel movies of late. So Phase 4 or Phase 5, better. Not to the levels of Endgame. Or obviously, that's one of the highest grossing movies of all time, but not to the Avengers level. But at a Guardians level, it's on par with like a Volume 2 or maybe even slightly better than a Volume 2 in terms of box office. So
fair enough.
We can jump into our thoughts on it, spoiler free. I can go first. So positives. I think this is... I don't know if this is like a recency bias, so I'm going to like kind of temper my thoughts.
Favorite movie ever?
I think it's probably the best Marvel movie since Endgame.
That's how they market this movie. Everywhere I look, it's like this is the best Marvel movie since Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it might be, but I don't know. I might need to watch it again or like give it a bit of time before I make my... decision on it, but
what about Spider-Man No Way Home?
I think it's better.
What about Shang-Chi?
I think it's probably better.
What about
Eternals?
Yeah, I was gonna say a really bad. I was gonna figure out which one was the worst one, and I'm like, is it Eternals? Is it Ant-Man?
Probably Thor: Love and Thunder.
Oh, Thor: Love and Thunder. Yeah.
It's certainly better than like the last four or five. Like it's better than Thor. It's
the Last Jedi, yeah.
Let's not get into that. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think it's – so the reason I think it's pretty good is firstly the story is simple. So the story is not a – there's not that much happening in the story.
Mm.
But the main thing that draws you to this movie is the characters and the way they kind of – they all complete – sort of an arc in this movie. So kind of in the first movie, they set up that these guys are kind of like losers and they all come together because they were broken in some way. The second one is a bit of a transitionary movie. And then obviously stuff happens in Infinity War and Endgame as well. But I feel like in this, most of the characters come pretty much full circle and they kind of understand what their purpose is in some way. So I thought that was really good. I think it's a pretty satisfying conclusion, but I don't think it's like a finale that they're marketing it as. It's a finale in terms of James Gunn's farewell. It's done.
Yeah, the gun's so, out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's cocked his gun.
Yep.
I just came up with that. Is that pretty good?
Not really. I won't acknowledge that. Usually I'm the one making bad jokes. So it's a finale for him. And obviously he cares a lot about these characters. And in particular, I think he said his favorite character is Rocket. And in this movie, Rocket is, I'd say he's the main character, but a lot of his footage is actually a flashback. And in the present, he's... Yeah, like there's a lot of flashbacks in this movie.
Yeah. It's in the trailer. You know there's flashbacks, yeah.
So, but he's definitely like one of the central characters in this movie.
And Chris Pratt.
Is Chris Pratt... I mean, he is.
Pratt is the center of all these movies in the end.
I guess. Yeah. In this one, not as much. Second one, definitely he was the main character. Like, it revolved around him.
Mm.
This is almost like the second one. But instead of Chris Pratt, it's Rocket is the main character, I would say.
Yeah. Well, Chris Pratt is still,
he's still
prominent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's more main than some of the rest of the characters. Yeah.
The villain, so I think he's really good. What's his?
Chiwetel Ejiofor. No, I don't Let's know just what call his name that. Is. What was his name? Let's actually call it. Chikwudi. Does he have like a... No, we should just call him by his
actual name. Chakwudi Iwuji.
Chakwudi, yeah.
Who was in Peacemaker as well. But what's it?
High Evolutionary.
Yeah. High Evolutionary is the character's name. I thought it was good, but like I think the reason... So the audience will really hate him.
Mm.
And that's because he's just like a nasty character and he does some like really dreadful bad things. Bloke,
yeah.
But if, and there's certain things that happen in this movie and you're like, everyone's going to hate him. But if you take that away, I feel like his motivation's pretty basic. It's pretty, yeah. Like, it's not great.
It's so kind of like Thanos' motivation, just slightly altered, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same motivation in the
Except
end.
Except Thanos has, like, you can kind of see where he's coming from. Like, he's got some logic, whereas this guy is just, he's just a bad guy.
It's a bad
guy. Just very... Yeah, does some nasty things. So take that away. I think he's just a very basic villain, but
he's a pretty good actor, though.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. It was a good performance, and I think his overall, like what they did with him in this movie was pretty good.
That's a really good effect on him with his face.
Yeah,
like it looks real.
It's like
it's like his face is like how do you explain it? It's like stretched on.
Yeah.
It's actually a really good effect. The CGI is really good in this compared to previous Marvel movies.
Yeah. It's on par with the sort of Guardians level of visual effects.
Yeah.
And I was also going to say he's probably the best villain in terms of the Guardians movies. Because the first one.
I like Ronan. Ronan was.
Really? I don't think it's that great.
I just like that part where it's like what's happening when they're dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. His dad was all right.
Ego. Yeah.
Yeah.
In general, I guess the Marvel villains are like not great in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of like a big criticism of the first three phases.
Yeah. He's not like I don't put him on par with that. Thanos is still the best. And then probably like Loki when he was
the Joker,
bad guy.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger's Joker.
He's in Shang-Chi for a bit.
Jared Leto.
Yeah, he's also in Shang-Chi.
Just the person, Jared Leto. Like, not any of his characters. But
well, yeah. Morbius is in Spider-Man universe, technically. So, yeah.
Anything else?
Did you see Jared Leto dressed up as a cat to the Met Gala? So, Unrelated, but you know.
Is that recent?
Yeah, like a couple of days ago.
Why do you dress up as a cat?
I don't know. I thought you'd dress up as like a... Like an actual, like a... Like, do you know those like big heads? No. Like, do you know those big suits that you can get? And you put like a massive head on, like a mascot?
Yeah.
It was like that.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Look it up. It's weird.
Yeah. Okay. That's...
And also, unrelated, Doja Cat went to the Met Gala and she was like dressed up like a cat as well, but a different one, like with makeup and stuff. And then in all the interviews, she just meowed. So they would ask her questions and she would just meow.
Great.
Yeah.
Any more Met Gala stuff you want to cover?
Roger Federer hosted it. So, yeah.
That's a bit of a turn.
He's like good friends with the person that... He goes every year.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. He's good friends with the person that hosts it or the person that organizes it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's...
It was meant to be Serena Williams, but she's pregnant again.
I see.
Yeah. So that's all the Met Gala information.
Right.
That's it. Every week we have a Met... If this is the first time you're watching, every week we have a Met Gala section. So, yeah.
That's news to me as well, but okay. Yeah, every week we're going to have a Met Gala section.
Yeah, even though it only runs once a year. Yeah. I just store up information for that time. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've exhausted it for this week, but come back next week.
Next week there'll be a lot more. I've got plenty more. But yeah, this movie's pretty decent.
Any other positives? Action was pretty good.
Yeah, there's one like hallway fight scene, which is really nice.
That's good. And there's an introductory like action sequence in the start of the movie, which was all right as well.
And it's still funny.
Yeah, I think it's funnier than the second one, but I don't really like the comedy in the second one.
Yeah. In terms of funniness, yeah.
The first one's probably funnier than the second one.
The first one's funniest, yeah.
This one's a bit more emotional. It's a bit going into like mixed things. Like some people might find this a bit too difficult to watch, especially if you don't like, there's like animal cruelty in the movie, and if you don't like that kind of stuff, you're gonna find it tough to watch this, because they do push it, and they really push the PG-13 rating as well. There's some stuff
I think it's
this.
The first Marvel movie to say fuck.
It is,
yeah.
So that came out in the news, but the part where they use it is just like a joke, so it's not.
I can't
like,
remember when they used it.
I'll tell you in the spoilers, but like it's almost unnoticeable, like that's why you don't even remember it.
Yeah,
it's like it felt like they didn't need it in that part, but yeah, so it does push the PG-13 rating in terms of gore, and
it's probably not for your kids.
It's a bit too dark. I think it's a bit too...
Take them to Mario instead, which I haven't seen.
Yeah definitely Mario is definitely much more of a kids movie than this. This is pretty... It's probably one of the dark...
But even the first Guardians movie was, like, not for kids. No. Like, there's a part when they put he puts his finger up in the thing.
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. But then it's got, like, Groot and Rocket and stuff, and they're kind of...
Yeah, it's for, like, older kids.
Yeah.
It's, like, 13 plus.
Yeah, that's why it's PG-13, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm actually not sure if kids under 13 actually watch Marvel movies general.
They probably do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Some kids, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. So it might be, it's probably not for everyone. That's the only thing I'd say. And some people, I've heard on social media and stuff, some people they don't really like this movie just because of that stuff.
Mm. But it's not like... It's not promoting animal cruelty.
No, it's not. It's
not,
yeah.
It's not like, yeah, let's torture raccoons.
Yeah.
It's against it. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And that's why you like really hate the villain. But
yeah
it does get, maybe he pushed it a bit too far in some parts. But yeah, I thought it is what it is, I guess, in terms of what he was going for. Negatives. So if you're a fan of Adam Warlock, you're going to be disappointed.
The gun didn't put much of him in, yeah.
I feel like he was kind of like, was that like a...
He was out of bullets.
Yeah, he ran out of...
They keep coming to me. They keep coming. I'm going to keep sending them.
He ran out of ammo. I don't know if James Gunn is like, he cares that much about Adam Warlock. Maybe like it was a Marvel thing to have him in the end credits scene, and then he was forced to have him in this movie. Because it feels like they could have just had anyone in that role. It didn't have to be.
Probably didn't even need to have him.
Yeah.
Like it didn't need to, that character didn't need to need be in to this be movie. There.
Yeah. Yeah. It could have been anything else.
Yeah.
They do kind of link it back to the villain in some way. So it
but
kind
not,
of.
Not in yeah. like a full circle way. It's yeah. just, yeah.
He's just in yeah. it. And he's also.
He's not bad in it though. He's just not in it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just not in it much. Yeah. And I think the interpretation of the character, from what I remember of Adam Warlock, and we've seen him in like some animated stuff, he's not like a dumb character, from what I remember anyway.
In this, he's young.
Yeah. So he gets smarter?
I'm guessing he'll get smarter. He's meant to be the peak of humanity.
Yeah.
With superpowers. But he's like 3 days old or something in this, so.
I guess so. And yeah. apparently he came out earlier than he was meant to or something. He's premature. Yeah. Yeah. But he's kind. He reminded me of like Thor in Thor: Love and Thunder in terms of like his intelligence level.
Your favorite movie, so yes, yeah. that increased your love for this movie. Yeah.
That was really my only other negative. There are some like like the way the story progresses, it kind of goes flashes back and forth. Some people might find that a bit jarring sometimes. Like all the Guardians movies, it does have tonal changes, like scene to scene, especially this one, because it gets pretty dark in some parts, and then like the next scene, people are cracking jokes and stuff. But I guess that's just Marvel movies in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I liked it.
I did too.
Yeah. Anything else to mention, spoiler free?
I guess we should talk about music as well.
Yeah, so James Gunn always does music pretty well.
I think it's the first soundtrack's the best one.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably second or third. I can't remember. If I can't remember the second one, it probably can't be that great. Yeah, so it would be this one second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I like this one better than the second one, just in general, as a movie.
I think this one is better than the second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still do like the second one. You don't like the second one that much.
It's not that I don't like it. I just don't think it's. Maybe I just had really high expectations because I really like the first one.
I don't think James Gunn makes bad movies.
I haven't seen his movies before Guardians, so I don't know how good he was before Guardians.
They're pretty highly rated. I haven't seen them either. But since Guardians, he's done 4 movies and they've all been.
So Guardians 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Oh, and that's, if you count Peacemaker as well. So 5 things.
Yeah, Peacemaker. Yeah. And he did the holiday special as well.
Yeah.
Also, the holiday special, you should probably watch that before you watch this.
I don't know. You don't need to.
I think it kind of fills in a couple of gaps.
Yeah.
In terms of, like where they start in this.
But like if you didn't watch it and you go straight into this, you're not going to miss a whole lot. Yeah.
Cool. All right. I guess we can jump into spoilers. So I give it a cognitive recalibration. I think it's one of the better. It feels like we're back in like phase 2-3, that maybe phase 2, like a phase 2 standard Marvel movie.
Guardians of the Galaxy ones was phase 2.
Yeah. Yeah. So not as good as one, but it's as good as like another phase 2 movie.
Thor: Love and Thunder. Yeah.
That's phase 4, but okay. Yeah. I think it's a good movie. And
I agree. It's
happy
good.
To say that, Marvel's probably back to, well.
I don't know. It's one movie. It's directed one movie, by James Gunn.
And it's
Gunn.
James Gunn.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think James Gunn.
James Gunn has his own, like, autonomy on what he does. And this movie's not connected to anything else. It's just Guardians of the Galaxy. So. Yeah.
And I think James Gunn got to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's why. Turned out all right. Same thing with this is better than Wakanda Forever, but I think even Ryan Coogler might have had sort of a bit of a free hand with that movie, but that was hamstrung by
the CGI is remarkably better in this than in Wakanda Forever. Like
I can't remember the CGI being that bad in Wakanda Forever.
Don't you remember that end scene with that blue suit when Okoye is wearing that blue suit?
Oh yeah, that was bad.
Yeah,
that was bad.
And then Ironheart.
That was also bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It was pretty bad. But that is still better than like CGI and like Thor: Love and Thunder.
Yeah, they're really bad.
Yeah.
But this is like really good. Like the CGI on Rocket is like amazing at some points.
They did. I saw like this comparison between Rocket in Guardians 1 and Rocket in this, and it's noticeably better. Not that he looked bad in 1, but
he looks amazing in this. Like really good. Groot looks good. Groot's like teenage Groot.
The other negative I'd say is Groot. So Groot and Rocket are like, you meet them and they're like together, like they're best friends, right?
That's not this Rocket. That's not this Groot though.
I guess, yeah.
That Groot died.
That I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I just felt like Groot should have been in this movie a bit more. That's all.
Yeah. Groot is, this Groot's been with the group as much as, like he's known all of them the same amount of time.
As Rocket. So I guess he doesn't have that attachment with
Rocket.
The but then in Infinity War, he goes.
He does go with him.
With
Rocket. Yeah. But yeah, he's just chilling. He's a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he like 20 in this?
Yeah. Possibly older, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in Infinity War, it was like teenage, like 15 or something.
Yeah. Yep. He's always playing games.
Yeah. So in this is like a, in his prime, I guess? Like
I think his prime is later.
Later.
You see it later in the movie. Yeah.
And in the first Guardians, is he like 100 or something?
He must be pretty old.
Yeah. Because he's got like moss growing on him and stuff.
So
Yeah. Anyway, side note on Groot, but we can jump into spoilers. So if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, go and watch it. We recommend it. And we'll come back to this point and we'll do spoilers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right. Spoilers.
Yes.
So we could probably do this by characters like we did with most of these movies. We could start with Rocket because he's the main character essentially in this movie.
It's taken out pretty early on though.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I was saying like he is the main character but he's not in the actual plot.
Until the very end. Yeah.
And even at the very end I felt like there should have been a more of a face-off between him and I keep figuring
the High evolution.
High evolutionary. There wasn't that. There was a like 30-second face off, but then the team comes and helps him out.
Yeah.
So I thought that could have been a bit more of a face off there. But his story's
pretty.
Get
a lot of backstory. But you kind of knew that backstory. Well, I knew that backstory.
I knew it, but I didn't think it would be as brutal as it was.
It was pretty brutal. Yeah. Like his friends dying. And stuff. Yeah.
It's pretty sad, pretty heartbreaking. And like all the animals are pretty cute and stuff as well. So it's baby Groot. Baby Rocket.
Yeah.
So it's sad. Yeah, it's got a very tragic backstory. And that's why I think people might find it a bit, I don't think I'd watch this like a lot over and over again just because of that.
It's a bit emotional. Yeah. Yep.
But it was done well, so it is sad, but it's done really well, and it is effective. So, can't say. And CGI on Rocket is really good.
Even Baby Rocket looks very good.
Very good. Yeah, yeah.
They gotta have a baby something in every one of these movies.
Yeah, it's either Baby Groot or Baby Rocket.
Yep.
Yeah. It starts off with him, the movie. So it starts off with Baby Rocket, getting taken to do experimentation, and it turns out he's incredibly intelligent, but because he doesn't look like a human, he gets disposed.
And he calls himself a Rocket Raccoon for the first time.
He names himself that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, he names himself Rocket.
Yeah, but he never knew.
At the end of the movie, he never knew he was a raccoon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because someone calls him a raccoon at one point, and he's like, I'm not a raccoon.
Yeah, Star-Lord.
Star-Lord. Yeah.
Calls him a raccoon because... Well, Star-Lord's actually seen raccoons
in
real life, and he looks like a raccoon. But and you find out at the end of the movie that he's from North America as well, so he's from Earth.
From Earth, yeah.
So Yeah.
And then he says, I'm Rocket Raccoon, and he shoots the Hive.
Shoots
the Hive Evolutionary.
Yeah, but then he doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. Fair enough. He says
he's over that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
I think it was like the implication that if he killed him, then is he any better than him?
Than him.
Yeah.
And also, Rocket's been through a lot more than any of the Guardians, I guess, because he's
5 years older than them. Yeah. Well, he's aged 5 years more than. Yeah.
And he was in Endgame. So it was only him and Nebula from Guardians.
Oh, yeah. Nebula was there as well.
Yeah. From Endgame.
Yeah.
And so he's been through a bit more in terms of he wasn't blipped. Also, the ages in this. Is a bit so he's 5 years older.
Yeah, but how old are raccoons really?
So Nebula's
a robot, so it doesn't matter.
Nebula and him are they've been through the end game phase, and then Star got blipped, Mantis got blipped, Drax got blipped.
I guess and then Gamora is 5 years younger.
Gamora's from the universe.
Yeah. And they make a big deal about that. Like, she isn't the same Gamora. She's a different person, which
she is.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to when we get to Star-Lord's story as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Rocket was really well done. And obviously it shows that James Gunn is a fan of Rocket. The character.
And then he becomes the lead of the Guardians following that.
At the end of the movie, yeah. So I thought that the other thing I didn't mention is I thought someone was going to die in this movie.
And someone nearly does.
I thought someone was definitely going to die. My highest on my list was actually Drax for some reason.
Because Dave Bautista doesn't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, so Dave Bautista he said it's his last one. So I was like, oh, he probably dies then.
Yeah.
I thought Rocket was probably going to die. At some stage.
But if the way the movie went, it wouldn't make sense for him to die.
I thought he would die later. Like, he would come back.
They'll come back and they would die again.
And then he would kill, like, he'd get his revenge and then he would die. I thought that would happen, but it didn't. I thought maybe Star-Lord was going to die at one stage.
Yeah, it looked like he might at one stage, yeah.
But he didn't, he was saved. Nebula might have also died.
I don't think Nebula can die. Like, she gets beaten to the pulp in this movie multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible for her to die.
Yeah. And we already know that Groot can't technically. Well, he'll come back.
Well, Groot can die.
He'll come back as another Groot.
He has to get that little
twig.
Twig, yeah.
Yeah, so if you can't find the twig, then he can die.
Yeah.
But none of them die. So. Yeah.
Chris Pratt was the closest to dying.
Yeah, and then probably Rocket. And then there was a part where Drax looked like he was going to die, but he didn't when he was getting shot as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His friends, Rocket's friends in the...
They all die, yeah.
They all die.
If you want death, there is death.
Yeah. And that was pretty sad.
A whole planet dies.
What are their names? Layla?
Layla, Teeth.
Teeth, I think.
Teeth.
Yeah.
And Floor.
Floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The conversation they have is like conversations like 5-year-old kids or like 6-year-old kids have. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very much that. Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't be that they would much be older, young. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Layla is an otter.
He's a walrus, yeah.
Yeah. And then
she's a rabbit.
Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although she has like a mask on or something. So, yeah. All those sequences are nice. And I think it's also because he must be an animal lover, even though he's like torturing
James Gunn.
Yeah.
Because he always has animals.
There's always animals or like a cute animal in this.
I think he has a dog.
Probably. Mm. Yeah. Also, Cosmo is in this.
Yeah. Dog.
So Cosmo is part of the Guardians team in the comics.
Yeah, original team.
Yeah. And I just can't remember when she actually joined the Guardians team. I remember they see her in Volume 2.
It's in the holiday special.
Is that when she joins?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not in the...
It's not in the movie.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why you need to watch the holiday special. but yeah, she was good in this. Her and James Gunn's brother have a bit of a...
Yeah. Yeah. She's she's not in previous James Gunn stuff. I don't think, yeah.
The dog or the
dog. Not the person that voices the dog. Yeah. Not the actual dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's a golden retriever?
Possibly. Yeah.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's another dog-like creature that Adam Warlock inherits.
Befriends. Yeah. Well, he kills its owner.
Yeah.
Befriends it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else on Rocket?
No.
Yeah.
That was the best part of the movie.
That was the best. Yeah, yeah. It was.
Yeah.
But it's also a part that I wouldn't be able to watch over and over again because it was pretty heartbreaking.
But in between, there's funny stuff like Drax and.
Yeah, there's Drax they intercut
Mantis are doing funnies.
Funny stuff. Yeah. Yeah. We can go to Star-Lord next. So, in this, at the start of this, he's kind of like a bit of a wreck because he's still.
An alcoholic. Yeah.
Getting over Gamora. Not that much happens with his character. He kind of snaps out of it pretty quickly. So
his arc is essentially wants Gamora to be his girlfriend again.
Yeah.
And then
he realizes she's a different person.
Yeah.
Also, when did Gamora join the Ravagers?
After Endgame.
But why? Like, I just never thought she'd be.
I'm guessing she just went back into space and then, like, the Ravagers just take random people in, don't they? Like, I they guess did. So. Yeah.
But yeah, she's a dramatically different character in this. And I guess it's just a different, it just shows like if certain events happen in your life, you can become a totally different person. So at the point where she comes into Endgame, it was before she met Star-Lord.
It was a long time before.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, not even close. Yeah.
Yeah. So she was just completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with James Gunn where he said that the first movie's about Chris Pratt's mother and him coming to terms with that. The second one's about his dad.
Yeah.
And then this one's about himself.
Okay.
Yeah. So take that how you will. That's what he said. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with the first two.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's not that, even though he's in it, he's not that central in this movie.
Yeah, I think I disagree. I think it's pretty central.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought Rocket. It's a
Rocket. Rocket is
a Rocket movie.
Yeah, then, he's in it a lot more, obviously. Yeah. But Chris Pratt finally comes to terms with the fact that he hasn't seen his grandpa.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah
towards the end. And like him and Mantis they established that Mantis is like his sister in the holiday special. So, yeah.
Yeah. And he essentially blocked that part of his life out, but then he comes to terms with it and he goes back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it shows that he did really like Rocket as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he says multiple times that he's his best friend.
Yeah, that's right. When he was unconscious, though. I don't think he'd say it when he's
I don't think they have that relationship when they're both awake.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, Chris Pratt was good. He's always good in this.
People hate Chris Pratt.
Because of his...
Like, in general in life.
Because of his, like, religious stuff.
I think really, but he's not that he's religious. He goes to church, I guess.
Yeah.
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 I don't think it's a weird church or anything. It's just church.
It's just normal church. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I heard people don't like even Disney and stuff. They don't promote him as much as like a Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans or that kind of thing. He's not like front and center usually.
Yeah. I don't know. For this, he's pretty front and center though. This is his franchise.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I know. I like Chris Pratt. I don't know why people hate him so much. I think he's funny. Yeah.
Drax and Mantis.
They're comedic. Yeah. Very funny. Comedic relief. Funnies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mantis has some serious stuff as well.
Yeah.
Drax, I like Drax better in this than in Volume 2. He's kind of just like a joke machine in Volume 2.
Mm.
In this, I think his jokes land a bit more. So I thought it was pretty good. And there's a bit of an arc for him as well in terms of what he wanted to become or what he needed to become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. It's kind of like the last minute. It's not really an arc. Oh, I guess so. They find out he's good with kids.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And he's pretty old, right? I'm guessing.
Drax. I think he's immortal, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What species is he? Like?
I don't know. Yeah.
He's, but that arc was good. He's got some good jokes. He breaks. They needed him in this movie because, or else it would have been way too serious if it wasn't for him and Mantis. And Groot, as we said, is not in the movie that much, but he's got some good stuff. Like that corridor sequence, he does some cool stuff.
This is part where he hides all these guns.
Yeah,
he takes them out.
Why wouldn't they scan him?
They're like, oh, I guess this guy's just a tree. Yeah, yeah. Don't need to scan the tree.
Yeah. Why would you scan the tree? But that part was good.
Mm.
And then he turns into like this little.
He can like turn into like a. They call him a kaiju.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, you get a kaiju.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he can become really big as well.
That's the kaiju thing.
Yeah, no, that you know when they jump off the.
Oh, he turns into like a bird. Yeah. He makes wings for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He should be able to, because he can turn into different shapes.
He can do whatever. Yeah.
So it makes sense. And then in the end credits scene, so there's two end credits scenes, a mid-credits scene and an end credits scene. In the mid-credits scene, it's
huge.
He is massive. I didn't even know he was there until then. Like, well, yeah, get up. And so that's Prime.
I think that's Prime him. Yeah. He's huge. He's massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like he's been working out and, yeah.
So that'd be like 40-year-old Groot?
Nah, surely not. Maybe like mid-30s.
When's a prime?
I don't know when a prime. When does a tree come into its prime?
Yeah, maybe it's like 30s.
Yeah,
mid-30s.
Yeah, so there's the new group, I guess.
So it's got Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
Rocket Raccoon is the captain. It's got some kid that they find in the...
Yeah, some random kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cosmo.
Yeah.
And anyone I'm missing? Sean Gunn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I'll be honest, that team's not that great.
Well, they've got Adam Warlock, so they just...
Yeah, they probably don't need anyone. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's the Justice League, so they've got Superman. Yeah.
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 So Adam Warlock, he's basically the most powerful person in the universe. Or like one of the most,
like close to, I think he goes through a lot in this movie. Like
it'd be like Captain Marvel level strength,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And he just like straight up fries some guys.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought he was going to be the one to kill the High Evolutionary.
I thought so as well.
Yeah,
but they didn't really set up much of a thing
because he kills his mum.
Yeah, but that was very brief. Like it happens.
Yeah.
I felt like they could have done a bit more of a story between them as well, because he created
him and his mum.
No, between the High Evolutionary and Adam Warlock and his mum, like the whole Sovereign thing.
The trio,
they probably could have done a bit more, but like the Sovereigns are just like,
yeah,
comedic relief, and
he's not in it that much. But I thought some of the parts he was in were pretty funny. Yeah,
he literally just flies in, like you just see him and he's just flying towards.
It seemed like a test run for James Gunn's Superman movie. It's like, oh, how can I do flying when I get this Superman movie?
Is he going to do a normal Superman or is he going to do the black?
I think it's just a normal Superman.
Yeah. Buck Kent Superman. Yeah. Okay. But not Henry Cavill.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I think that part, he probably had to put him in just because of the end credit scene and that.
Yeah.
But
it's been that long that he probably changed his mind on what the story was going to be anyway.
Yeah. And yeah. I think it was also not from the Adam Warlock perspective, but more from the Gamora perspective, because he didn't have control over what happened in him.
So he actually was going to kill Gamora. I saw another interview with him. He was going to kill Gamora in number two instead of Yondu.
Okay.
But it didn't work with the story and he ended up killing Yondu instead because it made more sense.
It didn't work with the story in Volume 2. It didn't work with the story for Infinity War. It
did work with the story for Volume 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then the Russo brothers called him.
Yeah, I guess it did. It makes sense for Yondu. Yeah.
And then the Russo brothers called him and said that we're going to kill Gamora. Does this work with Volume 3? And he said yes. So, and then...
Oh, he gave them...
Yeah.
The okay. But I don't think it does, really.
Well, it does, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think they knew what to do with Gamora in this movie that much.
Yeah, well, he knew that Gamora, not Gamora, what's her name? Zoe Saldana didn't want to do more movies, so she was done with it. So he knew that at some point they had to, like, finish off her arc and, like, close off her story.
And without killing, well, they couldn't kill her again.
So, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it makes sense that she transitions into being a Ravager.
Yeah.
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 Chris Pratt said he might do more, though.
Yeah, he did, yep.
Yeah. I think he was the only one, because Dave Bautista said he's done.
Yeah, I think Karen Gillan will be done, but she might show up some stuff. Pom Clifentine. Probably done as well.
Probably done, unless they do like some spin-off series where she's exploring worlds with those big,
with the big monster, yeah, things. Big monster
things. So those big monster things, they fight them at the start of Guardians 2, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they eat the batteries.
They could have done with Mantis then.
Yeah, but they didn't know it then.
Yeah, they didn't meet her yet. Yeah,
she's kind of OP, like in a way that I didn't realize that she's OP in a fight scene. Like there's this one part where she just like goes up to different guys. And like touches them and tells them to do stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's a part. Yeah, that part where they go into this like living. We didn't really talk about a story.
It's like this biotech.
Yeah.
Place.
To get some information on Rocket that they needed. And there's a bunch of cameos in this section. So James Gunn's wife.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
And the girl from Suicide Squad. Remember the one that speaks to rats?
Oh, is that pink chick? Okay, yeah. I didn't recognize her, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is her. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there any other cameos? So Sylvester Stallone.
I was going to say Steven Spielberg.
So does Sylvester Stallone just like, are they just friends?
So that there's lots of cameos with that. So Sylvester Stallone, and then Michael Rosenbaum plays the crystal dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then
in the Ravengers.
Yeah, yeah. I think Miley Cyrus voices the robot.
Yes. She was also in the volume 2.
In volume 2, yeah. So like lots of those guys are.
Apparently there's another Captain Marvel in this. Like there's a character from the comics that's also Captain Marvel.
Okay.
But I couldn't figure out who, like probably
Marvel.
No, like another Captain Marvel. Okay. Like a proper Captain Marvel.
I didn't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone can tell us if you know who it is. Any other characters we missed? Nebula, she has a bit of a. If you look at Nebula in like Guardians 1 and look at Nebula now, it's completely different. And it makes sense. Like I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think her character has a lot of progression, which is good.
In Endgame as well.
Endgame, yeah. 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 Infinity War, Endgame, and then this. So, yeah, surprisingly, like she's a nicer person than Gamora now.
Yeah. It's like a role reversal.
Complete role reversal. Yeah. Because in the first Guardians, she was like pretty savage.
Nasty.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if it's because I've seen Karen Gillan in other movies. Like, I know how she looks like. But Nebula looks like her more now to me than before. Like in the first one, she just looked like some robot. Like, I couldn't tell it was Karen Gillan. But now I could tell it is her.
Maybe they make it look like her more because she's got some more name recognition now.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe we just recognize her face better now. I don't
know.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other? The High Evolutionary we mentioned, he's
not a nice guy.
Yeah. But good performance from that.
Yep. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was anything else in this movie. Not really.
The second end credit scene? I didn't actually hear what the conversation was about, but all I knew...
It was about mowing lawn.
I see, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't want to mow the lawn.
So how old is his grandfather, like 90?
He does say it at some point, like my grandfather must be like 90 or something. Yeah.
So he's been away from Earth for like 40 years.
That's actually a funny scene where he's like, he must be 90. I don't even know if he's alive.
Yeah.
And then he's like, people on Earth die when 50. They're like 50.
Yeah.
And then Mantis is like, are you going to die soon then?
How old is Chris? 50.
He's like 45, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So Star-Lord would be like...
Similar age, yeah.
So when Star-Lord left Earth, how old was he? Like 8?
He's like 8, yeah. 10, yeah.
So he's probably been away from Earth for like 40 years.
Mm. I find it funny that this like super trained, like almost like an assassin guy who's seen like crazy parts of the Earth is just like living a suburban life now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, so after that scene, they do say the legendary Star-Lord will return.
Mm. I think if they're going to bring him back, it'll be for something really cool. They're not just going to bring him back for like...
some Kang fight scene.
I don't know, some fucking TV show or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to come back in Secret Invasion. Although Secret Invasion could be good, but he's not going to be... like, yeah. That's not when they're going to bring him back. It'll be for something really big if they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something I just remembered. So a criticism of the Phase 4 movies, Phase 4.
Kang.
Kang. Well, the criticism was that they all seemed disconnected.
Mm.
But this is not connected to anything.
Yeah. It just needs to be a good movie.
It just, but, it just proves that within itself, it needs to have a good story.
Mm.
And some sort of connection with the characters. I think the main thing that James Gunn does well is that he does the characters well. So you just...
True to the origins as well, which is why I think he'll be good for DC.
Hopefully. Yeah.
And he's good at doing like weird stuff, which, yeah.
Yeah. Also, this movie was meant to come out earlier than it did, but he got fired in between.
Got fired.
In which...
got rehired.
In that gap, he got hired by...
by the time he got rehired, he got hired by DC to do the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So he had to do that first, and then he could do this.
And then he did this, and while he was doing this, he got hired to head up DC in their next phase, or not phase, but like their new universe or whatever they're doing. So he won't be coming back to Marvel, but good on him for finishing up and actually doing a good job on this movie as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think it would have done him any favors if this movie was shit. Like, if he like, oh, fuck this, I'm going to make this shit,
yeah,
and then move to DC.
Yeah, like, it's not that, like he would have, I don't think he would have purposely made it shit, but I thought maybe his mind would have been looking forward to his new job and thinking about what he needs to do there and maybe not 100% think about this, but looks like he obviously really loves
it. It's good marketing for the DC universe anyway, because everyone asks him in interviews, it's like, oh, what are you going to do? Are you going to bring these actors over to the DC universe? And like,
possibly, yeah.
Lots of them saying yes.
Yeah.
Pom Clefentine said they've already spoke. Chris Pratt said he would do it if he asked.
Drax.
Bradley Cooper said he would do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dave Bautista said he would do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, all these actors, this was their first big role, like on the big screen, all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not Zoe Saldana.
She was.
But the rest of them, it's all their first big role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they all became stars after Guardians 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt apparently bought.
Except Vin Diesel.
Yeah. And Bradley Cooper, obviously. But they're not actually in it. They're just.
How much do you think Vin Diesel actually
There was
does?
This one part in this movie where normally you don't hear the Vin Diesel when Groot talks, but he says this one line, I'm like, that is Vin Diesel. That is the most Vin Diesel.
What did he say? Like,
he says, I love you guys. Yeah. It sounded like it was from Fast and Furious.
I feel like he should have gone, I love my family or something like that. Just put the word family in there.
And then it's a Fast and Furious trailer. Straight into a Fast and Furious movie.
The end credit scenes are Fast and Furious. Yeah. Just the trailer.
That's the most Vin Diesel I've ever heard. Like in my sleep, if someone played that, I'll be like Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's not the first time he said something other than I am Groot, because he says we are Groot in the first movie.
It still has Groot in it though.
It does.
There was only one word that substituted. This is the first time he made a full sentence that didn't have the word Groot in it.
True. Yeah. But he's learning. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like he doesn't talk in the end credits scene, but maybe he can actually talk.
Yeah.
But I feel like he should.
Nah, his character should stay with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should just be I'm Groot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah. Look, I think a lot of these guys might go into the DC universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like this movie is better publicity for DC than it is for Marvel.
I think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is probably an anomaly in terms of like Phase 4 and 5. Just because it isn't linked to anything. James Gunn is finishing up, so it's a finale for Guardians. Really, the test will be the next movie, which is the Marvels, which people love. The trailer's like...
Why do people hate that trailer? It's not a bad trailer. Like, I'm not saying the movie is going to be great, but the trailer doesn't give me any indication that it's going to be bad.
Apparently, it's one of the most downvoted trailers ever.
Yeah, it's the most downvoted trailer, I think, ever. Yeah.
I think for movies it is, but Rings of Power still has the record in terms of most downvoted.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, if you compare the Guardians trailer to that, like, what is different in this that you like?
The Guardians trailer wasn't even that good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what's the difference between this and that?
Yeah.
Also, a lot of people say, like, normally when you introduce, like, a female character, like Miss Marvel or what's the other chick?
The other Miss Marvel.
The other one, yeah. The one from WandaVision.
Maria, yeah. Not Maria.
Maria Hill? Monica Rambeau, yeah. Yeah, like, when you introduce those type of characters, they cop a lot of heat. But, like, for this movie, Brie Larson cops all the heat. And takes it away from them. It's just everyone's roasting Brie Larson left and right. And the other two just get left alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, Iman Vellani was, say what you want about that show, but I think she was pretty well received.
Yeah.
I think WandaVision, she wasn't even in it that much. So I don't think people even know much about that character.
But even if they release like a new Avengers movie, it'll be like, oh, fuck, I love Shang-Chi. Like, fuck, the Hulk's the best. And then it'll be like, fuck Brie Larson.
Well, she's not getting much hate for the Fast and Furious movie, though.
Oh, yeah, true. But maybe if you go deep in those comments, there's just fuck Brie Larson threads.
Yeah. She's also not in the trailer
that much. It's like a blink and you miss it. Yeah,
yeah, she's not in it that
much. But she's not the family yet. Yeah, maybe she'll be family afterwards.
So you're saying she's Paul Walker's sister?
I reckon she's Paul Walker's sister. Yep.
All these people have, like, siblings that...
Secret siblings. Everyone's got secret siblings, secret brothers, secret parents. Like, they're...
Jason Momoa is, like, a brother of that other guy that...
Or is it his dad? Or is it his brother? I thought it was his dad.
Maybe his dad.
Yeah. The guy from Fast Five.
Fast Five, yeah.
I think I'm going to rewatch Fast Five. I think Fast Five is the best one as well.
It's one of the best ones.
I actually enjoy, like...
Remember when we watched Fast Five on the tarmac of Hong Kong Airport?
Is that when we watched it? Yeah, because we were on that tarmac. We watched the whole movie on the tarmac. Like, yeah.
Yeah, for some reason there was major delays when we were flying into Beijing and we managed to watch the whole of Fast Five.
It's a pretty good movie. Yeah. I think it's easily the best one. It gets more and more stupid after that.
That's where there was a step change, though. I think Five is where it started to become ridiculous, but it was still like sort of believable.
Yeah.
And then 6, 7, it was just like...
It gets progressively more ridiculous as it goes on to the point where we're at now, where it's just fucked. But it's amazing.
Yeah. So I think that's the next movie we're reviewing.
Yeah. Not next week, but the week afterwards.
Next week we might do Mandalorian. So I've watched Mandalorian season 3. I actually started to try to watch Andor as well.
Oh, yeah. Sure, everyone says
it's good. Yeah. So I've watched most of the first episode. So far, it's serious. It's a serious show, but it's good so far. Mandalorian season 3. Yeah, we'll talk about it. We're going to get Baska back on for that episode, who's joined us for all of the Star Wars reviews, but we'll see what we think about it in that episode. But anything else on Guardians?
No, I think
it's good to have it's nice to have a good Marvel movie again.
Yeah, it's a good Marvel movie.
Yeah,
I'm not saying this is a course change though. It's just James Gunn. Like, I expect this from James Gunn. He'll make a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think DC is probably more benefited from this than
Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to see what happens with the Marvels. Is there any shows coming out this year?
Secret Invasion.
Oh yeah, that's soon, right?
It's at some point. And I think Loki season 2 is this year as well.
Later this year, I think. Yeah. Cool. So if people want to get in touch with us regarding their thoughts on Guardians Volume 3, how do they go about it?
So we're on all platforms at Cognitive Recalibration, all social media platforms. Or you can email us at cognitiverecalibrationpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do so via giving us a review on Spotify or iTunes. Or now, I guess we're on YouTube now, right? So
is that where this is going?
Yeah, I guess this is going to YouTube. So yeah, subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. And you can also put your thoughts in comments now because YouTube comments. So, yeah, let us know what you thought about.
Tell us how much you hate Brie Larson.
We probably don't want that.
No,
that,
I want it. I want it. Tell us if you hate us more than Brie Larson or you hate Brie Larson more than us. That will give us an indication of how much they hate us.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I won't say anything.
Yeah.
Write what you want in the comments, but keep
it. Don't tell them to write what they want. There's going to be some real bad stuff in there.
Okay. Well, let's just finish up here then. And we'll also post on TikTok and Instagram. So follow us on TikTok and Instagram as well. So yeah, next review will be probably Mandalorian if we can fit it in. If not, it'll be fasten your seatbelts with Fast.
I am so excited. I cannot wait. Yeah.
It's your most anticipated movie, right?
100% ever in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the most anticipated one is one coming out later this month. The Little Mermaid live action remake.
Oh, yeah, look. I'm not watching that. It looks very dark. They need
lighting wise, yeah. Tone wise. Okay.
No, I haven't seen the trailer, but from the pictures I've seen, it looks very dark.
It's because they're in the ocean.
Yeah, but can you make a movie that we can see? So is Avatar in the way of the water, but you can see.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's a movie about a mermaid. Why are you trying to make it realistic?
Because there's mermaids in real life.
Yeah.
I watched Dan Morrill, who does box office prediction stuff, and his show is really good. He does a box office show every
people
week.
People hate that movie as well, so I don't think it's going to do well. Hate that movie.
Well, people who are vocal on the internet hate that movie, but there's going to be people that don't go on the internet that will love that movie. So
that's also one of the most downvoted trailers.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's also up there. Yeah. So he actually predicted Little Mermaid to be the highest grossing movie of the summer, of the US summer. He did it reluctantly. So he was like, I don't like it, but he was saying that's probably going to do well just because of the track record. Because Lion King wasn't great, but that made 1.5 billion or whatever. Aladdin made 1 billion. Beauty and the Beast made 1 billion.
I thought people are souring on these now.
They might be, though.
That Pinocchio movie is meant to be absolute shit.
Yeah, which is probably why it went straight to Disney Plus, though.
Yeah.
Pinocchio is a different... the fan base for Pinocchio is much smaller than the fan base of Little Mermaid, though. Little Mermaid has, those 90s Disney movies, Lion King, Aladdin, Little Mermaid, they're very popular, so I think we'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to be good, though. I don't think the movie's going to be that good.
No, I don't think any of those movies are good. Aladdin's the best one. Aladdin's decent, but the rest of them are all not
Beauty
great.
Beauty and the Beast was okay.
It was okay, yeah. Lion King's not good.
A Jungle Book was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was okay.
And Cinderella was pretty good.
Cinderella's not the same as these ones, though. That was they did that differently, yeah? These are I know Cinderella's the first live action one, but they made a specific effort to make these live action ones following it.
Yes.
After Cinderella.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was a different kind of production.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was slightly different. And Cinderella, that's an older Disney movie as well, so they changed it a bit more. Whereas these ones, it's basically a scene by scene. Replica,
yeah.
Except in live action. Yeah. All right. So great. Lot of stuff to look forward to. Hopefully this video stuff works and I can actually put it together and it turns up on YouTube. So
we'll see how it goes.
Fingers crossed. But stay tuned for the next episode. Hope you all enjoyed this one and we'll see you guys for Manual in Season 3.
Yes.
All right. See you later.
See ya.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.